future what he's getting ready to do again. One of the great attributes of God is patience. Isn't that right? God is very, very patient. Every one of us in here this morning could stand and say, God's been patient with me. But the Bible teaches, just sure as you're sitting there, that the day comes when God's patience wears out. It's over and over and over. It's all the way through history. It's through the Bible that he'll let it go so far and then he stops it. And he did that here in Genesis. Genesis 6 and verse number 3. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now look at this verse. Look at verse 5. Everybody look at it again so you can hear it. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Isn't that something? God looked down and he saw all the things that was going on. He saw that the imaginations of people's heart was only evil continually. A lot of times we look around the world and we say, boy, things are getting bad. And all we know is just what we see. What if you could see in people's heart? What if you could see in people's heart? Good night, man. I mean, there's probably people sitting right here in this room this morning that your heart is just as perverted as it can possibly be. You can't even sit here and keep clean thoughts right here in church. Now, God's seen all of that. God's seen every bit of that. And the Lord said, I am about sick of it. He said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to wipe it out. And as that is a thought this morning, I want to preach to you on the subject, what happens when God's patience wears out? What happens when God's patience wears out? God is good. I remember pushing my parents, and I'm sure all of you do too. My daddy was a patient man. My daddy wasn't saved when I was growing up. He didn't get saved till later in life. But I'll never forget when he was little, growing up, when I forgot how old I was, we remodeled our basement and made us bedrooms, me and one of my sisters, I believe. And the other of my sisters stayed upstairs, and Mom and Dad's bedrooms upstairs. We made bedrooms downstairs. And we had the TV downstairs and like a living room and two bedrooms. And Mom and Dad would go to bed because Daddy'd have to get up early and go to work. And me and my sisters and some friends, oh, we'd sit down there and cut up. And we'd get louder and louder and louder. I'd usually have a ball bouncing it around, you know, or something. And they'd say, put that ball up, you know. And it'd get 11 o'clock. Danny, you put that ball up. They'd holler at us 3 or 4 times and give us a few good warnings. Daddy had done gone on to sleep. And, you know, I thought, you know, we'll push it. 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 And I meant my dad wasn't saved. Dad didn't discipline us really like the Bible teaches you to discipline. He done like most unsaved parents do. He just waited till he blew up and then he cut into you like a weed eater. And I remember finally we'd wake him up and Mom would tell us 2 or 3 times, you know, oh, we'll be quiet. You quieten down for a few minutes, then a little bit, you know how it gets gradually louder and louder and louder. And then finally, buddy, daddy would come tearing down them steps. Just boom, 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 like the belt, and he just starts swinging that thing. You'd be running, trying to get up under the couch, you know, and hide, you know, put the pillars over you, and everything, you know, just frail. I remember one night he come in and jerked me out of the bed, and I was asleep because I had a little cigarette lighter, and I set a pile of papers on fire under the basement over here when we lived in Cleansville, and I almost caught the house on fire. And boy, he come home that night and jerked me up out of bed and started beating me like that. I didn't know what was going on. You ain't never had a whipping good till you get jerked out of a solid, cold, dead sleep. With somebody just beating a fire out of you. Man, I tell you what. But you know what that showed me was that my daddy had a limit. My daddy had a limit. You was only going to push him so far, and then, buddy, you was going to get it. And you, many of you parents know what I'm talking about. A lot of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. But most of you parents do. You do. You have the same problem. Now, God is like that. God is our Heavenly Father. And did you know a generation or a nation or a group or a person or an individual can push God and push God and push God until finally the Bible says there is no remedy. God has no other choice but to spank. God has no other choice but to just bam. Sometimes I wonder how he can put up with America. I wonder it. I marvel at how God puts up with our nation. We see that God is long-suffering in the days of Noah here. When God told Noah this, he waited 120 years before he acted. 120 years. And then finally, down he came. When God told him there in the days of Lot, he literally sent the angels in there to get Lot out. He gave people time. They could have, everyone got out of town. He sure did. You see how good the Lord is. The Lord's not saying, all right, I caught you sinning. Blam! See, he's not like that. The Lord says, please quit. Please quit. Please quit. And he puts churches here, and he puts preachers here, and then somebody tries to get you to come to church, or you see a Bible, or you hear a preacher on radio or TV, and that's the Lord saying, please quit. Please quit. Please quit. But if you go on and on and on and on and on, then God eventually has no other choice than to just say, all right, I've tried to get him. God gives time to repent. We see it all through the Bible. Cain had his opportunity. Jezebel, Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said, I gave her space to repent. That way, nobody can't point their finger at God and say, now, God, you didn't give me a chance. Yes, he did. God gave you space to repent. There's people right here in Marion that I've knew since I've been preaching 20 years, and I knew them riding up and down these roads, and God has given them 20 years to get right, and they still haven't got right. Now, they're not going to be able to look at the Lord and say, you didn't give me a chance. They're not going to look at the Lord and say, well, I didn't know. The Lord said you live right there in Marion, North Carolina. You could have went and heard it any Sunday you wanted to. You could have picked it up and read it. And God, I did give you space to repent. You think about Herod there in the book of Acts. You think of the Jews in the book of Luke. The Lord gave the Jewish nation a chance to repent. He said, if you don't repent, I'll destroy. 70 AD, the wicked Titus comes in, destroys the city. But God always gives time to repent. Churches, he told them there in Revelation chapter 2, they have time to repent. I believe if some churches lived up to their name, our name of our church is New Manna. Manna means bread. They eat bread in the Old Testament to stay alive in the wilderness. The bread that kept them alive in the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ come, shed his blood, broke his body, and he said, this is the true bread. That's the new manna. And brother, our church is supposed to give heavenly bread to sustain you in this wilderness. That's the name of our church. I hope and pray that we can live up to our name. Amen? But according to a lot of churches, some churches should have Ichabod Baptist wrote on their sign. They forgot God alone. Ichabod, for you that don't ever read, means the glory hath departed. No God. God's gone. And they should put that up on their sign because God has left them and given them time to repent. Number one, God is long-suffering. Number two, God does give time to repent. Number three, God's patience does finally wear out. In the days of Noah, let's imagine it now. In the days of Noah, they begin to eat. They begin to drink. And the first thing you know, instead of eating to stay alive, they begin to stay alive to eat. You know what I mean? That's an easy shape to get in. All they thought of when they got up in the morning, they thought, what am I going to eat? And when they got through eating breakfast, they said, what are we going? I'm going to take a bunch of Alka-Seltzers and go work out at the gym so I can work all that off so I can eat again. See, that's the way they got. And then I'm going to eat again, and then I'm going to eat again. And then I'm going to eat again, and then I'm going to eat some more. And just crammed it in, you know, just food, 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 food. And that's like, it's like our day, just like our day. I don't see nobody in here looks like you're at the point of starvation this morning. Matter of fact, we could put 200 or 300 more people in here if you was the size you're supposed to be. But did you know something? They begin to eat. Bible says that they ate and drank and marry and given in marriage. It come to the point where their marriage vows meant nothing. They couldn't care less. Somebody said the divorce rate gone down. Well, anybody smart can figure that out, brother. It ain't because people are getting more moral. It's just they ain't even bothering to get married no more. They can't have divorce. Nobody's married. And that's the way it's getting, man. It's got worse and worse and worse and worse. What I'm trying to say this morning is, in Noah's day, the world got rotten. Now, we're living in a time when television and the news media tries to present you the picture of that the government and the moral is moral, and they're trying to keep these crooks from taking over America. But if you get in and find out what's going on, you find every bit of it from the White House right on down the doghouse. It's just as crooked as a dog's hind legs. You know that? You know what? I read this article in the news. I'm going to give you several news articles to prove my point this morning. And when Anita Hill accused Judge Clarence Thomas, I'm sure you remember that, 2 or 3 years ago, or how long it was, Judge Clarence Thomas was running to get on the Supreme Court. And suddenly this woman popped out of his past named Anita Hill. And Anita Hill said that Judge Clarence Thomas sexually harassed her something like 10 or 11 years ago. And suddenly everybody went bonkers. They put her under scrutiny. They put Clarence Thomas there and they put the cameras on him and said, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you tie your shoe, the left shoe first or the right shoe first, that morning on October 12, 1973? Well, he can't remember all of that. And they put him on there and said, oh, he can't give us a straight answer, huh? Must be hiding something. And boy, they went all the way through all of that mess. And all of these feminist movements and the NOW, National Organization for Women, and all of them ran to her rescue and said, oh, these wicked men have harassed us ladies long enough. They ought to be done away with. Something's got to be done. Put a stop to it. And they almost stopped that fella from being elected to the Supreme Court. Now, we have another situation. Just listen to me carefully. We have another situation exactly like that one that has popped up in the past few months. We have a lady by the name of Paula Jones. Paula Jones has accused the present president, Bill Clinton, of as much or more sexual harassment as did Anita Hill, did Clarence Thomas. And suddenly, this thing is looked upon as, oh, how could she have the nerve to do such a thing? And they tried their best to get the NOW, National Organization for Women, to come and support Paula Jones. All the feminists who are worried about sexual harassment were called upon and said, will you support Paula Jones? She has a claim against a man in high office. Would you do it? You know what they said? They said this is wrong. They said this is, they said the charges are not considered credible. They said the issue makes me want to throw up. They said, "I don't believe Paula Jones." The same people that stood up for Anita Hill suddenly are telling us that Paula Jones is not supposed to be believed at all. Now, what I'm not making a political issue out of this. I'm proving a point. I couldn't care less. I feel sorry for whoever's president. We need to pray for them and back them up as much as we can and do right. So it's not a slam right now against the president. But I'm just saying this. Why did everybody run and say Anita Hill's right? Anita Hill's right. And everybody says Paula Jones is wrong. Paula Jones is wrong. The answer is very simple. Judge Clarence Thomas opposed abortion. And he was against abortion. And all the feminist groups are determined to get a Supreme Court judge who is in favor of abortion. And so this was nothing but a trash story to try to keep him be elected. Bill Clinton is in favor of abortion. So suddenly his accusers don't matter. What I'm saying to you this morning is it's every bit just as rotten as a rotten apple. And it goes right on down to that fella Vince Foster, whoever he was, right, just as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And the Lord sees all that. The Lord sees all that. Said O.J. got him a mystery witness the other day. Did you hear about that? Mystery witness going to clear his name. A mystery witness has a pretty bad testimony, though. I mean, he's lied and he's been caught and he's been in jail and everything else. That's a bad sign for O.J. if the best witness you've got is up, you know. But did you know something? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying the earth is corrupt. Help me now. Listen, the earth is corrupt. It is corrupt. It is corrupt. It's rotten, brother. It's just as rotten as it can possibly be. Listen, down in Florida and Panama City, where this brother right over here is from now, not his church, but they made a church ad with TGIF, thank God it's Friday. They put TGIGF, thank God it's Good Friday, a church ad screens, and they inserted the word good. It was a Lutheran church, and it put on their sign, "This Friday, party with the big guy," talking about God. And they said, "Come on out Friday night, and we're going to party with the big guy," saying God is going to be in our party. They have an Episcopal church down in San Francisco, what they call a rave mass in the basement of Grace Cathedral. It's called rock and roll liturgy, which is, of course, a Catholic term, featuring loud music, women dancing in bikinis, video monitors, and messages like "Eat God" all over the storeroom there where they're dancing to rock and roll music. This is going on in religion this morning, not to mention the thousands and thousands of escort services, date services, whorehouses on the side of the road, the drunken bars, the gambling casinos. God looked down and he saw that the imagination of man's thought was on evil continually. And don't you mistake it, God's looking down at us this morning. He's looking at you. He knows exactly what's in your heart. And he knows what's going on. And he can only stand so much. And God really one day will let go. In the days of Lot, the Lord seen the same thing. You know what happened in the days of Lot? Pride, abundance of bread, abundance of idleness and fullness of bread. That means this. That means when any nation gets more to eat than they can handle and full of pride, think they're a hot snot, you know, and full with idle time, it makes queers out of them. Better listen carefully or you don't get to hear this on TV, what I'm saying. They're too narrow-minded. Them people belong to them cults like that. They're not able to speak the truth like we are here in church. That makes a generation of homosexuals. Here's what makes a man a homosexual. He has too much food in his belly. He's too lazy to work. And he's filled with pride. See? Starts thinking he's pretty. That's right, man. That's right. It'll mess you up. It'll mess you up. I'm telling you, that's what happened to a nation. That's what's going on in America today. That's why I tell these boys, I said, man, get dirty, get nasty, get out in the mud, get mash your face in the mud, get hit. Let somebody knock fire out of you every now and then. Sweat, get dirty, don't get soft. Amen? If I was you girls, I'd worry about if I had a boyfriend that wore more makeup than I did. One of these days it's going to rain and he's going to expect you to come and open the car door for him. Or you're going to have a flat and you'll have to get out and change it. That's what they did in the days of Lot. You say, that's not happening that much, is it, preacher? In California, of course, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America said this. A church was defrocked after finding out the pastor was homosexual. He had been an ordained minister since 1978. He announced to his sermon on a Sunday morning that he had lived with his homosexual man for 5 years. Wouldn't that be a shock one Sunday morning if you went to church? Wow! That'd give the community something to talk about, wouldn't it? What I want to know is how did a guy live with a man for 5 years and the congregation not even know it? Surely there's some signs somewhere. In mid-February, they convened the disciplinary panel, which found him guilty of violating the church rules and ordered his removal from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's clergy roster. That sounds good, but listen. But he has received the support of his congregation, and it continues to employ him as pastor. And they're saying that they're going to go to court or do whatever they got to do because of God's love and grace in our own lives. We can do no other except love one another. I say to you this morning, you think the Lord's just going to keep looking down and say, we just won't notice that. We just won't notice that. We just won't see the Lord storing it up, storing it up, storing it up, storing it up. Do you realize that there's been more lightning strike this year than ever? This half of 1994, over 20 million lightning bolts, up 20% from last year. A million earthquakes a year. God's going, you know that big earthquake I had in San Francisco or out in Los Angeles a few months back? It's on just the last one. Did you know that triangle down there in that valley? You know what they didn't tell you on the news? Is that right out of that triangle where that earthquake hit in California, 90% of all pornography videos that are made in America come out of that square right there. And they didn't tell you that on Larry King. And they didn't tell you that on Phil Donahue. You know why? Because we want to think, oh, God has nothing to do with this. God's not looking. We're going to make it. Not without God, we're not going to make it. I'm telling you this morning, our nation's in trouble. I'm telling you this morning, America is headed for judgment. There's judgment hanging over this land. God's going to stop it. I tell you what happens right before God judges a nation. You know what happens right before God drops the bomb? Little kids are being brought into it. See, when the first time, when God delivered his people out of Egypt, the Pharaoh, killing babies, right? When the Lord came first time, killing babies. That's the last draw. That's the last. My wife the other day in Florida, we got this newspaper and she was picking out an ad in here, had an ad in here about the title of it. It's in USA Today called When Home Turns Into Hell. It's just giving a cross section of the nation of what's going on in homes in America. Many homes this morning are nothing more than a war zone with kids. I can't imagine what it'd be like to crawl up under the bed at night, maybe to keep from getting hit with a broke beer bottle or a stab or something like that. But there's a lot of kids go through that. One three-year-old boy watched his father beat his mother, including blows to the head, and was so scared he threw up. 8 months later, when he saw another adult bump her head, he started saying, I don't want my mommy to hurt her head again. A four-year-old boy listens to his mother describe to her counselors how her husband beat her. The boy moved close and told her, Mommy, don't worry, I won't let it happen again. A lot of times a little boy in the home will feel like that it's his responsibility to protect his mama from his daddy. Can you imagine what that'd do to a kid? You ever laid in the bed at night, just numb and froze, afraid and could not go to sleep, afraid that daddy's going to come beating on the house again, and hear mama in the next room crying? Well, if you hadn't, you ought to thank God, because there's a lot of people that have. A 7-year-old boy watched his father try to kill his mother. He and his mother went to a hiding in a shelter. When the boy came to counseling, his first words were, "We're in a place that's safe now. Daddy can't find us." A 7-year-old girl drew a picture scene by scene. She drew a picture of her mother in a bed. Then she drew a stick figure entering the room with a little word that said, "Open or I'll knock it down." Finally, she drew her mother's face covered with red marks that she said was blood. Said, "For kids like this, no place is safe. You must always be on guard." Here's a picture of a little boy, little Jason, who says he takes his plastic gun and his rubber knife to bed with him, telling his mother, "If daddy comes, I'll be able to stop him." If daddy comes, I'll be able to stop him. And this goes on day after day after day after day after day. You wouldn't believe some of the stories I could tell you right now just happened right out of our bus ministry right here in Murray. God sees it all. God sees every bit of it. And God looks down and he loves them little boys and them little girls. One of these days, God's patience is going to be up. Terrible, terrible things going to happen. Finally, in closing, what happens when God's patience wears out? First, a horrible blindness comes over a nation or a person. Second, God's Spirit is withdrawn. Are we not seeing that in our land today? We've not seen the Spirit of God move off our land. But you go to where I was at in Pensacola, Florida this week, there's all kinds of bars. Of course, there's a lot of good churches down there too. Bars and juke joints and topless places and homosexual bars and all kinds of things. And brother, it's just like God just saying, "All right, you don't want me? Here I go." He's pulling his spirit off the land. There are a few places, the camp, a church here, places like that, where God's Spirit's still around because people want him. But in most places this morning, the Spirit of God's gone. Gone. No conviction. No guilt. No shame. People can do anything in the world. Get drunk, run around on their wife, do whatever, and don't even feel bad about it no more. That's when you know you're in trouble. You're just like something seared your feelings, you know, and just killed your nerves. Well, you can't feel no guilt no more. You're in trouble if you get like that. Finally given up by God. And the last thing that happened, God destroys you. The Bible said, "He that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be cut off." That without remedy. Heard about two boys one time. I was out in Texas. They had been drinking and running a car real fast and speeding down the highway. A man stopped them. He said, "Boys, something terrible's going to happen. You boys go home now and sleep this off and get this alcohol out of your system before you get out here and get killed." "Oh, yeah, we'll do it. All right." They took off down the road laughing, speeding in that car. Wasn't long till they hit a telephone pole, cut that thing in two. Somebody come up and they heard one of them screaming as he died, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." And he died like that, screaming, "Oh God." See, that's the way it goes. God gives you a chance, like he did them boys. He gave them a chance in Noah's day. They didn't get in the ark. Then the water came. You know what they were saying when that water came down? "Oh God, no, God, no! No!" But see, it's too late then. God's patience is gone. In the days of Lot, Lot got out. Fire started coming down. I'll guarantee you, people who laughed at them before were screaming, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," when that fire started falling out of the sky. And it looks like that's the only thing that's going to get Americans' attention. We just lived it up so long and done our own thing to where we think nothing or nobody can stop us. One of these days, God's going to show us that He's still the boss. I hope that you don't wait till God's patience runs out. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. This morning, could I ask you a question? Do you feel deep, deep down in your soul that things are right with you and God? I don't want to embarrass you. I wouldn't put you on the spot or nothing like that, but I would like to ask you a question. What if the Lord come back today? What if He come back today? See, it wouldn't be no joke then, man. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, maybe you're saved, but you ain't been living like you should live. You might want to say, "Brother Danny, I don't want God's patience to run out with me. I want to be ready when Jesus comes." Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. This could be the greatest day of your life. If you'll just come to this altar this morning, and you'll let the Lord save your soul. We had people saved last Sunday. We had people saved Sunday before last. It's nothing new around here. It's not something that we're not used to. God wants to do a work in your life this morning. Will you let Him? Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl